Well, welcome to this special edition of Living the Word Today, Recharge Edition. And as most of you know, this is our short form, although it's not going to be real short today. I'll give you an advance warning on that, but just a non-sermonic, non-preaching version. And we're doing something different here in summer. I'm bringing some guests on, and with the online technology we have now, we can do that real simply, and we'll be introducing our guests. But first of all, let's just take a minute and introduce ourselves by this means.
Welcome to Living the Word Today with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Well, I am so happy today to welcome a friend of mine. He pastors in Florida, so he's a pastor. He's an author. We'll talk maybe a little bit about his book and some of the works he's working on. Podcaster. He's been involved in radio ministry, radio drama for a number of years. And I'd like to say a friend of mine. And we're glad to welcome to Living the Word Today, Phil Ayers. Hi, Phil.
Hi, how are you? Good to see you again.
Always good to see you. I am well. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I'm excited. I got a vacation coming up. Of course, a lot of pastors do that in July. Yep. And so no complaints here. Feeling great.
Okay. Well, very good. Very good. Well, we have a topic that I know you're prepped for. And our topic that we want to talk about is how do you recharge your spiritual batteries? And yeah, that's maybe a little takeoff on this feature's name of recharge. But you know, we have those times in our lives where we just need a little energy, and we need to maybe this going into your vacation time is a good time to talk about. Maybe coming out of your vacation would have been a better time to talk about it. I don't know. But how do we what are some of the things we can do practically, maybe some things from the Word to teach us about this subject of being refreshing? And I just feel, maybe do you feel this way, that maybe because of coming out of COVID this whole last year, maybe we need a little extra recharging? Do you kind of sense that at all?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think, you know, COVID was interesting because a lot of people had to either stop what they were doing or change the way they were doing it, but they didn't really shut down. I mean, they didn't really unplug.
Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing. Like when it comes to recharging, you really have to not just slow down, but you have to stop. An analogy that I use is, you know, I bought these new Apple AirPods. And, you know, they're great. You know, you put them in your ears and you don't have the cords and, you know, you kind of look like a little bug with the thing sticking right here. But, you know, the battery doesn't last as long as I thought. You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and sermons and I talk on the phone a lot. Battery lasts, you know, maybe half a day and I have to recharge them. But the problem is, in order to recharge them, they have to go back in the case. You can't use them while they're being recharged, unlike some of your other devices that you can kind of plug in and keep using. Yeah. And I just thought that was a great sort of visual picture of what it means to unplug. Like, we actually have to stop. And if it's, you know, if you're the kind of person that spends their life, you know, thinking about things, then you've got to shut down your brain. If you're the kind of person who does physical type things, like maybe you work outside, you work in construction or do something with your hands, you have to stop that in order to actually recharge. And in our American culture, you know, there's not a real value, or our culture doesn't seem to value people that stop working. You know, there's sort of this cultural idea like, yes, it's a good thing to work hard and to always work, but sometimes you have to stop working. And of course, God modeled that for us, you know, himself when he took a rest on the seventh day.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that, because, you know, the whole concept of a Sabbath, you know, in some ways we as New Testament believers honor that. We have a day of worship. It's the first day of the week, not the last day of the week.
Yeah.
But we still honor that. But at the same time, it's certainly not what our Jewish friends would practice. I was in Israel a couple of years ago, and it just was amazing how everything just came to a grinding, rigid halt. You know, everything. But we don't experience it that way. But let's just talk about the role of Sabbath or that concept, or just give us your thoughts on that.
Well, yeah, I think the concept of the Sabbath, you know, from the Old Testament, it has to be sort of like, you know, maybe the foundation of why we're going to take a rest. And like a lot of things, you know, like a lot of the Old Testament laws, they become principles in the New Testament. You know, there's a lot of things in the Old Testament that were specifically for the Jews or specifically for Israel, and it differentiated them from the lands and the peoples around them. And then, you know, of course, in the New Testament, Jesus sort of rewrote a lot of that stuff. And, you know, he would talk about, you know, had an argument with the Pharisees because they were frustrated when his disciples were eating the grain and not washing their hands. And of course he says, you know, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, there's this idea like now we just use that as a framework. And for some people, they legitimately can take a whole day off. You know, for me as a pastor, I don't know what day you take off, but I try to take Monday. That's my Sabbath. I turn my phone off and I really try to unplug. But not everybody can do that. If you're a stay-at-home mom or if you work a different type of job where you're on call, you have to grab moments of time. And I think a good guideline is about, you know, 1/6. If you work 6 days, one of those days, or if you work, you know, for every 6 hours, take an hour off, whatever it is. But it's the principle of saying, okay, if God himself modeled this rest, then I have to do it too. I don't think the day is as important as just where your heart is with it. And I think about this, most Christians wouldn't say, okay, well, let me tell you all the different, the 10 commandments, the ones that I break all the time, but we don't take that fourth commandment as seriously as we should. And at least I'm pretty sure it's the fourth commandment that, you know, that we keep the Sabbath. So suit certainly important to go, okay, this amount of time at this place, I'm going to just rest my mind, rest my body and recharge.
Okay. Very good. Very good. I was just thinking of, and I just kind of looked it up here where you were thinking about, you were talking about that connection between the Old Testament and the principles of the New Testament. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden." And if you ask how many of you do not feel, you know, heavy laden and are laboring, there's no hands go up.
Right.
Yeah. I told someone Sunday, in all my years of ministry, no one's ever come to me with a spiritual problem of saying, "Pastor, I just don't know what to do with this extremely large amount of free time I have."
Right.
You know, it's like in our society anyway, everything fills up. But he says, "You labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Right.
It's that phrase, "Come to me."
Right.
It's not even activity. It's not even form. It's relationship. Come to me. So, you know, and some of that has to be, this has to be time with the Lord. This is not just, it is time to disconnect. I love your comment about if you work with your hands, you need a break from that. If you work your mind, break from that. Maybe for you and us, for you and I who use our mouths all the time, maybe we need to be silent. But it has to have that element of coming to him and having that relationship.
Well, and it's what's interesting about it too is like all things, when we follow God's word, there's a gospel component to it as well. One of my favorite things when we're talking about connecting the Old Testament and the New when it comes to rest and recharge is, you know, when the Israelites, you know, were delivered out of slavery from Egypt and they were in their new lands. In the book of Deuteronomy, you know, God is reminding the Israelites through Moses that they need to keep the Sabbath holy and that they'll stand out. Because if you think of it, everybody around them, every other culture had no concept of a day off. I mean, back then life was difficult. It was cruel. You spent all of your time just trying to survive. But here comes this new nation where the God they worship doesn't just ask them to take a day off, says it's important. Like, you need to do this. And you think of these other nations looking around, and Deuteronomy says, like, how good of a God do you have that he has you keep these laws? And these other, you know, nations are like, wow, I want a God like that too. And I think when people now see Christians modeling those guidelines and being rested and recharged, that's a gospel thing. It's like, I want that too. Yeah. I want to worship the God who helps me recharge. I want to follow the man who's giving me a promise of rest. And, you know, if we're going to be honest about it, Christians aren't that good at it. And sometimes, like I said before, people are almost rewarded like for their work ethic. But that work ethic might turn into sort of an overwork ethic. And before you know it, you're burned out and, you know, you're no good to anybody. So it's a really important thing. And I'll admit, you know, I'm not great at it. I do my best. I mean, you really have to put up some barriers and margins, you know, in your life and in your day in order to do it, especially if you're, you know, maybe somebody listening got young kids, you know, maybe two jobs trying to make ends meet, it's very difficult to do.
Yeah, it really is. And I know for Julie and I, we have adult children who now have children of their own. We just welcomed grandchild number 9 about a month ago. Wow. So we're trying to be there for them, help them with childcare. At the same time, my parents are elderly. They're needing a time and attention from me. They live nearby. And you're just kind of squeezed, you know, at this point in life, you've got your children raised, it should be easy, but no, there's other things that squeeze. And I know, and I'm not complaining because I know many of you have far more intense situations than I have ever experienced. So let's talk about, we talked about kind of weekly, and we understand. I think, you know, we as pastors are going to get this in as well. Part of that is worship, gathering with God's people for worship, and that's refreshing. Just, you know, I'm reminded of Elijah when he was running from Jezebel. You know, he goes out and God has to send an angel to touch him and feed him and give him water. And right. and part of what God tells him is, nope, there's 7,000 in Israel that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. Right. You don't know about him. You think you're the only one left, but you're not. Right. You just need to be reminded that God does have his people out there. God, right. They're out there. They're there. But let's talk about maybe, how do we say this, special event recharging or unique times. Do you have any patterns or suggestions for us, or maybe things you've taught your own congregation about how, you know, maybe a special time of resting and recharging, however you want to frame that.
Well, I started doing this thing. I read a book by Michael Hyatt. It's called Plan Forward. I read this probably 5-6 years ago, but you know, one of his suggestions in the book is to plan an individual retreat for yourself, whether it's a one day, if you can get away for, you know, a day and a night or a night and a day, or if you can at least just go somewhere, take a day off or do it on a Saturday or whenever you have a day off, like get by yourself and sort of refocus what you want to do for the next year. Like there's and of course in the book goes into this, but you know, like they'll take some evaluation of how your year went. Did you accomplish some of the goals, some of the things? Where are you at with your spiritual life? And then you look forward. I try to do that once a year. Actually, I'm close to this Christian camp down here that is, you know, it's a real blessing to pastors because they let you come in, you know, take a cabin for the weekend and just get away on the lake. And I did that just after Easter this year. So that's kind of my plan. I think it's a great idea for families to do that. Let's say, like, what do we want to accomplish as a family? What do we want to do this year in terms of our spiritual life as a family, in terms of raising our kids? You know, maybe for a new couple, it's a great idea. Get out of your normal sort of flow, away from your regular house, even if it's like, okay, we're just going to go for a half a day. It's an intentional time to say, okay, where are we going? Where have we been? And what, you know, does God want out of us? I think that's a great idea.
Oh, I love that. I love that. And it's more than just getting physically away. I loved how, you know, that book you mentioned. I want you to mention the title again here in just a moment. But there's a spiritual component, a spiritual goal in mind. It's not just we're going to go to Disney. We're going to go golfing. Dad's going to go golfing. Mom's going to hit the outlet malls. We're going to hit the beach, which is all good. Nothing wrong with that. But what are we doing to feed our souls, in other words? Yeah, what are we doing to be intentional? It sounds like that whole concept is very intentional.
Well, the book is written sort of for a broad audience, and I think it applies to people who are in business and students and so on. But it definitely has a spiritual element, too. And I think that's the key. I mean, you know, everything we do as Christians is or should be a form of worship. Like everything should be, glorifying God, no matter whether it's how we do our families, how we work and that kind of thing. So I feel like that's an important element. And really, you know, that way, rather than just sort of going through life without a plan, which many people do, you know, you have a plan, you know, just like you have a financial plan, or hopefully you have a financial plan, you know, you have sort of a spiritual plan for this year and what you hope to accomplish. It's good to kind of take an inventory, you know, like, you know, are you serving where you need to be serving, or are you ready for a change? You know, are you giving like you need to be giving, or is God calling you to give more or give less, you know? How are you doing with devotions individually with a family? Like when you get away and just sort of ask some of those tough questions, I think you can say, okay, well, here's our plan for next year. And it's hard, you know, to be focused like that. And a lot of people actually don't like to do that because it may bring to light, you know, some habits in their life that they're either not proud of, that they've been meaning to change, but it's an important thing to do.
It is. And I think you could find there's times when Jesus got away to pray and pray all night. I mean, you think about the intensity of that. And yeah. I'm not saying we could even physically survive the situation, but, you know, to fast those 40 days in the wilderness
right.
and preparing for ministry, there's times where he took his disciples away too, you know,
yeah.
when he went over to Caesarea Philippi, and that's where, you know, who do men say that I am? Who do you say that right. I am? Peter, you know, gets it right for a change in that whole story. But, right. but you know, that getting away. Well, let's talk about, and I appreciate that. I think that's important though, some special times. I've tried. I'm way behind now, so I'm confessing. You talked about being uncomfortable. This is my uncomfortable moment. But to try to, like, once a quarter, just have a day that I put on my schedule, I'm going to be away, and, you know, I just take a Bible and some prayer concerns and just think and look through the scriptures. Sometimes I'm using that to prepare, like, what do my people need? What do I need? Where do we need to go in the scriptures and teaching? We're always working right. that, but just being away in a different spot, different away from, you know, the norm. It's just been very, very helpful and to do yeah. that. But maybe let's talk about, okay, we've talked about a weekly Sabbath, that concept. We've talked about some special, you know, kind of spiritual retreat, if you want to say it that way. But what can we do to just insert into the enormous busyness of a normal day? How can we find, you know, you talk about dropping those ear pods, earbuds, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm an Android person, so I have the Galaxy, the Samsung ear things, and it's amazing. When I first got them, it's the same thing. It's like, these things don't last very long. It's like, how right. big a battery can something the size of a nickel have? I mean, you know, be satisfied with that. And it's true. But how can we just give that quick recharge? How can we refresh our spiritual batteries just in the today?
Well, I think it's difficult. I think I'll tell you a technique that I try to use as much as I can, and it's pretty practical, actually. This is from a book. It's called, the book, I believe, was by Eugene Peterson. I think it's called The Contemplative Pastor. It was a book, you know, for pastors, and this was one of the main subjects. Of course, this applies to everybody, though. But one trick that he had is that he would actually schedule those downtimes or those rest times in his day on his calendar. And so, for example, he wanted to develop a discipline of prayer. So he would schedule a few times a week, an hour just for prayer. And it would go in his schedule just like anything else would, just like an appointment with the deacon team, or just like, you know, an appointment with somebody from the congregation. It was, you know, whatever. 1 hour for prayer, or 1 hour for Bible reading, or, you know, a half hour for rest. And what's beautiful about that is when you schedule those things, it seems like we're beholden to our schedules. So you might as well go ahead and put it in the schedule. And that way, if somebody says to me, at least, hey, Pastor Phil, I was hoping we could get together at 3 o'clock on Thursday, and you look at your schedule and it says, you know, downtime or rest or prayer, I say, unfortunately, my schedule doesn't allow me to do that. I don't have to tell them what I'm going to do, because if I said, well, I'm scheduled to pray at that time, they would say, well, you know, you could maybe pray later, right? But I've scheduled it. It's yes. a bit of a discipline. And I think that's a really good thing. And again, super practical. But, you know, if you're going to go away on your retreat and someone says, hey, are you available to help me move on that Saturday? You don't say, oh, I'm going on a personal spiritual retreat, because maybe it sounds self-serving to somebody who doesn't understand. But you say, you know what, my schedule doesn't permit me to do that. And you know, you find out is that nobody argues with that phrase. You know, my schedule doesn't permit me to do that means, okay, you're busy. And there's an assumption. So for me, that's my little trick to try to say, okay, this is my time for Bible reading. This is my time for, you know, for prayer.
Very good. Oh, I love that. That's very good. Just to have that planned and scheduled that way. And especially you mentioned if someone calls and says they want you to help them move, that's a great time to say my schedule will not allow that.
Well, don't use it to
lie. I'm joking for all you people. We need to cut this out of the recording today. No, you understand what I'm
saying.
That
was just an example. Well, yeah. You know, the funny thing is there's an assumption too, though, here that, you know, doing quote unquote spiritual things like prayer and Bible reading and resting and recharging, like somehow that can be replaced by things that are important. But those are really the most important things.
Absolutely.
For people to do, you know.
Absolutely.
And so to schedule those, I think, is a really good thing. And one thing I'll point out, you know, not everybody is really great with scheduling. I get that. Like, some people want to fly by the seat of their pants, and they might figure a better way to do it. I just know me and the way things go for me, and probably people that are busy. If it doesn't get onto the schedule, it might not happen. And that is a good plan for family devotions,
you know,
for personal devotions, and everything else.
Yeah, and just you mentioned this regular, whatever you call it, quiet time, time alone with God, devotional time. And I think you'll agree with me. Anytime I feel like I've gotten off track spiritually, or you're counseling with somebody who's had that experience, almost always, and the almost is in very small print, almost always, their devotional life or my devotional life has not been what it should be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden. Right. I haven't been coming to him to receive this strength, this life. You know, you know, John 15, he talks about, I'm the vine, you are the branches. You, if that, you know, if that branch is snipped off of the vine, it is, it's not receiving life anymore from the whole. And, you know, without me, you can do nothing. So that connection time, that time in the word, time in prayer, if you do it with a spouse, you do it with your kids, whatever the situation is, that's time where life energy is passed, and it's as you said, not optional. So very, very valuable.
Well, one thing too, I will point out. So like when, a lot of times when I talk about these things, you know, I think people have a picture in their mind, you know? So when I say, okay, well, I'm going to spend some time in prayer, there's a picture of either me kneeling by my bedside in somebody's mind or in my office or something, sort of with the lights down low and I'm looking very holy. But, you know, there's a lot of different ways to take that time. I mean, one of the things that I love to do is I put my AirPods in and I have an app that has the Bible on it. And I like to take, I take my dog for a walk and I listen to several chapters of the Bible. Like, I'm recharging in a way, and I'm just forced out some other things, or, you know, just going for a walk and doing a prayer while you're walking. So it's not that it has to be done the same way, because some, for some people, they don't have the concentration for that, or it's difficult. And then one last thing I usually say to a lot of people is they usually feel so bad about how bad they've done by not having personal devotions that it stops them from starting. And I go, look, that's in the past. Just start right now. You know, I don't think God is saying, well, because you haven't done a good job in the past, I know you're not going to do a good job in the future. You know, you can sort of start afresh. And a lot of people don't even know where to start. I think that's one of the big challenges. Yeah. They look at the Bible and it's, you know.
Yeah, and we live in a day where we, you know, on our smartphones, we have all these helps, apps, that sort of thing. One that we recommend as a church and me individually is, you know, Moody Bible Institute puts out Today in the Word. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, but it's, you can get it in paper form. You can get it delivered by email, delivered in podcast, whatever. And it's just, it's just the discipline every day. Here's where you're going in the Word. You don't need to plan it. It's planned for this. For instance, this month of July, it's all about sheep and shepherds in the Bible.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it because today's devotions was talking about it. There's more than 500 references to both sheep, shepherd, and such in the Bible. 500. So,
yeah.
You know, so, but just it's prepackaged. It's easy. It's easy as your smartphone, your tablet, picking up the book. And I just tell people, start.
Yeah.
Here's a suggestion. We give you lots of other good stuff out there. Just start.
As bad as technology can be, and as distracting as our phones can be, there's a lot of benefits. I have sort of the same thing. I have an app called the Dwell app. It's a Bible app, but it literally reminds me every morning at 9 a.m. Hey, time to listen to the Bible. Press play. And so, you know, if you've got that scheduled in there, I mean, here you got some technology helping to connect you as opposed to distracting you. So I guess we're sort of fighting fire with fire there. But
yeah, absolutely. Our associate pastor here, we were in staff meeting the other day, and our staff meeting was running a little long, as they sometimes do. And suddenly I hear this notification on his phone. It sounds like a sword, you know.
I'm like, oh, cool.
What is that? And he said, that happens every hour on the hour just to remind me to think about the Lord and think about what I should be meditating on the Word. And I thought,
wow.
I don't know what app that is, or maybe it's just notification built into the phone. But after I got over ducking from what I think of sword swinging, it was a great idea.
That is a great idea. Hey, if that's not an app, we should develop it. That would be.
Let's work on that. I would not know the first thing about developing an app, but I tell you what, I'll be the cheerleader while you do all the work. How about that?
Okay, I'll figure it out.
Okay. You come back from vacation and you have that all figured out.
I will.
Well, very good. Great suggestions. I love all that. And if nothing else, if we don't give you like, here's the gem you to take away, just if nothing else, to know that we need times of refreshment. We need right. times to rest. We need time to refocus, to recharge these batteries, because, you know, and I love how the Lord describes us. It says in the Psalms, he remembers that we're made out of dust. He remembers our frame. He knows how we're constructed. He knows we need these things.
Right.
And he's given us every opportunity to. Anything right. else you want to add that maybe I haven't asked about, or you just want to add to our conversation?
No, I mean, I think we touched on it a little bit, but I always like to point this out. You know, God almost never asks us, or I'm pretty sure that never asks us, but I'm going to say almost in case there's some strange scenario. But God almost never asks us to do something that he hasn't modeled himself first in so many ways, right? I mean, he asked us to love him, but he loved us first.
Yes.
He asked us to forgive others, but he poured that forgiveness out for us first. And there's a lot of other things like that, but the resting is the first thing that he did to show us that we needed it. And you always think like, why would God need to rest? It's a strange thing. He's all powerful, all knowing.
Yeah.
But I think it's because he's modeling something for us, and it's something to take seriously. I wanted to point this out. It's just kind of interesting because you said it. We are going to begin renting our facility to a Jewish congregation starting here in a few weeks.
Oh, and what a great thing.
They're not Messianic Jews. They're Jewish, right?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because they start their service on the Sabbath, which would be Friday night at sundown.
Right.
But once that sun goes down, they're not permitted by their own law to operate any of the electronics in the building. So we turn all the lights on and all the sound systems, we turn that on for them before they begin. And it's interesting, that's how serious they take the Sabbath.
Yes.
Now the beauty is, since we're in the new covenant and Jesus has delivered us and he's fulfilled the law on our behalf, right? You know, we can do that. But it just shows you like the level of seriousness there is for that. And so obviously, again, it's a guideline for us, but God would like us to say, take some time. And there's not just is there not shame in that, that should be a blessing. It should be a celebration of saying, okay, today is my day. I pointed out like this, God's the one who invented the weekend. We should definitely take advantage of it.
Very good. He did indeed. He did indeed. Oh, what a great thing. What a great thing. I love to hear about you being able to share your facilities, with a group of, Jewish folks that have meeting to worship. What a great thing. And that intersection of their views and ours, even though obviously we've embraced faith in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so much of, I think, some benefit there. And
that's a whole discussion in itself, but I feel like it's a great example to show, like, we see it in the New Testament, the difference between grace and the law all the time. And we're going to live it out here, but they're wonderful people. And we're excited about, if nothing else, just being a light to them by being kind and allowing them to use the facility.
Absolutely. I commend you for that. What a great thing. What a great thing. Now, I do want to mention, some of you will have recognized Phil through our ministries and church ministry and so forth, because we used his book, Flannelgraph Jesus, I think it was last fall, maybe late last summer, for our production that we call Life Talk. And I just so happen to have a copy right here.
Hey, is this a great looking book right there.
Yeah, great cover. Still available, I assume, and people can get it. I'd love to recommend it. It's a great read. It's 140 some pages, but good stuff. So can people still get it? When, where?
What'd you just say?
It's where is it available? Where can I get it?
Oh yeah, so you can get it at Amazon, obviously. And if you get it through Amazon, you can get it through them or you can get it through me. I usually sign them if they come through me, but they take a couple of extra days.
Okay.
But yeah, happy to. And I love the fact that your congregation, some of the folks use the book.
We really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. Very good. And you're working on a new book, I understand.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through the editing process on a book called Weird, Wild, and True, The Stories You Didn't Know Were in the Bible. It's kind of very similar to the book that you wrote. And that's kind of really how we got to know each other, really, is these sort of weird and crazy stories, a lot of them in the Old Testament.
Yes.
But that one's almost done, and hopefully I'll have that out and ready by the new year.
All right. Well, let me know what's available. I'll put my order in. I would love to get a copy of that. And I love those. And that's what caused me to put that together. And yeah. you're more of a prolific author than I am, but just to get, it was great to get that in print, just because so many people discount the Bible because these stories don't match our culture or match even the norms. You know, God does reserve the right to work miracles when he wants to. That's his business. And we need to accept
And there's so much more about those stories that, you know, that you have to dive into and understand a little bit of the culture, the context, and it really brings them to life.
Yeah, really, a lot of fun. Okay, well, we'll look forward to that. And so thank you so much for giving your time. I know you're a busy man, and have a great vacation.
Thank you.
If I recall in an earlier conversation, are you coming? We're in West Virginia. You're in Florida. Are you coming this direction at all?
Yeah, we're going to be up in that general direction for a hike on the Appalachian Trail. I don't think it comes real close to where you are.
Well, yeah, close enough.
Generally north.
Okay, well, very good. We'll enjoy that. Be safe.
Yeah, appreciate it.
And if you're on one of those mountaintops, you can just look to the west and wave at us as you go by. Okay.
I'll do that.
All right. I also want to ask, I know you have some social media presence. If someone wanted to follow you or connect with you, where would they go?
Well, I have a website, philayres.me. That's AYRES.ME. But of course, like a lot of bloggers, like it's kind of very hit or miss. And I have a social media presence on Instagram that's rarely updated anymore these days. I'll tell you, between me and you, social media has been a challenge.
Nobody listens between Phil and I. I'm sorry, say again.
Yeah. Social media has been kind of a challenge for me lately with just everything going on. So I'm not as active as I have been in the past. But anyway, I'm on Instagram at I am Phil Ayres.
All right, good. Well, good. I'm sure maybe someone will want to go over there and grab some of that content. And that's really good. Well, thank you so much, Phil, for being with us, giving us your time. And thank you for giving these about 31 minutes to be together for this different kind of episode. And thank you, Phil, for being our inaugural interviewee. Appreciate that very much. And we're going to do several of these. We've got some lined up here over the summer. Trust it will be a blessing to you. So until we can get together next time, we will wish you all the best, and may God continue to bless you richly. And may you find that opportunity to recharge your spiritual batteries.